Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Alan and Kafam. Sam joins us to share his life, talk about spirituality and religion and being a single dad. And he is very outspoken with his views. We look forward to what Sam has in store for us, so do stick around here on Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9 with Alan and Kafama Orange Ribbon, Joy 94.9 multicultural program. And Alan, did you recognize that tune there?
Not exactly my taste in music, I have to admit, Kafam. Sorry about that.
I must say, I brought along Carla Bruni as well, the French First Lady of France. But she is not happy today, and she refuses to sing
the
her CD.
The refuses to play, so we'll have to make do without it, won't we?
Mm.
But anyway, I'm sure we'll get by.
No, I was really surprised. It's a classic Indian Hindi Bollywood tune, and Black Eyed Peas have directly copied, borrowed the sound. No, 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 don't break my heart. That's where it comes from. I was really pleasantly surprised. And, I was so tired today on the way here, and I needed a pick-me-up. And I was like, my classic pick-me-up is the Slurpee, Coke Slurpee. What's yours, Alan? Just very briefly.
To pick-me-up?
Yeah.
I don't know that I use music to pick me up, actually. A good stiff brandy and dry, I think, would pick me up.
It's a brandy. And tonight, our guest tonight is Australian of Maltese background, Sam. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, all.
Good evening, Sam. And Sam, do you have a Maltese drink that helps you pick you up, that your mum makes, perhaps?
I don't know. Is there a Maltese distillery? There must be, surely.
I would say that most Maltese people are alcoholics.
Ah. Well, I didn't say that.
And we drink everything.
Everything. Before we progress with the show, because Sam is very extremely outspoken, I just want to make a disclaimer that all his views are his own and nothing of Joy 94.9.
Just don't stir me up too much.
But just on the alcohol thing, there's no traditional Maltese drink or mixer of some kind?
They are, but I'd say that they're pretty petty. They're not. There's nothing that's really, highly potent.
No. A bit disappointed there, Sam. But, a bit of background. When I told my friend that we have a Maltese coming on the show, and he goes, is he a purebred Maltese? Because purebred Maltese nowadays is quite a rarity, because they tend to be a bit mixed nowadays with the, other generic brands. How true is that?
Well, I'm not white and fluffy and not walked around by princesses or over wealthy people in Toorak. But I would say that most Maltese people, like a lot of other nationalities, and we're all just all mixed now. You can't say that we're pure bred. And Malta itself, like, that's been invaded by the Turks, the Lebanese, the Italians wanted to take it, Germans in the Second World War. Like, it's just that strategic island where so many people have invaded it over time.
But was there, if you go back before that, and I guess we're going back 200 or 300 years, was there sort of a uniquely Maltese culture that's sort of been watered down, I suppose, is what you seem to be implying?
Yeah.
Over
Well,
it's more I'm talking about people, obviously, Maltese people in Australia or the States, etc., etc., but in Malta itself, the culture is still pretty strong, but it's more the people, it's the crossroad in the middle of the Mediterranean, and just, everyone's interbreeding and just mixing together.
What are the Chinese? Have the Chinese been there as well and made a stamp on Malta?
The Chinese junks don't make it that far.
But are there Maltese traditions or Maltese festivals that perhaps we wouldn't know about in Australia?
It's just absolute Maltese festival madness in Malta. Can I put it that way? There's something on. There's some birthday of some, saint of some sort. Every church has a saint, and you know, and they bring them out, you know, all dressed and have a big festa for them, and you know, and then there's things in between.
And how's that carried through? Sorry, how is that? I'm just how is that carried through to Melbourne or to Australia?
Well, with the whole Maltese community, if you are part of that group, which is pretty much all those, you know, 60, 70, 80 year olds that go to it, you don't see any young people really there. You know, they still have their sort of mini festas here.
Why do I detect cynicism?
There's just some things that you just can't be bothered with anymore.
Has it got anything to do with that fact that when you were growing up, it was so much force into you that you rebelled against it?
Well, can I say that no, I was never really actually dragged, kicking and screaming to one of these things. But I've been back to Malta probably about 3 or 4 times over so far. But
what was it like the first time you went there?
What was it like?
The first time you went to Malta.
I actually went to school there.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Brought up by the Catholic nuns at as a primary school in our local suburb where we were living.
Is it what is it what the knuckles are like, you know, all the bruises? Is that what happened, what the Catholic nuns did to you?
Let's sort of work out some progressions here. You were born in Australia.
Yeah.
And that you're saying you were educated or went to school there. So how did that come about that you went to school?
I think as a 5-year-old, we went over there for a holiday. It was just myself, mum and dad, and gran. And went over there for a holiday and went to school there for about 6 or 7 months. And then I think we came back because my dad's mum passed away. And that was the reason why we came back. Otherwise, I think my folks were planning on staying there permanently at that point in time.
So your dad's mum was in Australia at the time?
Yeah, the whole lot. My dad's one of 15. And they all came over, everybody. There's only a couple of cousins left over there, but pretty much the whole clan came to Oz.
Just a random question. Is Malta anything to do with Maltesers, the chocolate?
You're an idiot.
Next question.
You know, also, you know, I find that there's a strong Greek presence and strong Italian presence in Victoria, in Melbourne. But for Maltese, I don't see as much. Are there? Is it? How is that so?
Look, it's not to say that we're hiding in the shade, but you know, we just keep our own, and we're not as prominent. We need to go flying the flags and being. Yeah.
There's, as we all know, there's various sort of areas of Melbourne for different ethnicities, such as the Vietnamese in places like Richmond, Footscray, and Springvale, and so on. Chinese you find in Box Hill and a couple
Glen
of other
Waverley.
Places, Glen Waverley, and so on.
And the
Maltese. I've got a couple of Maltese friends who just happen to live out in the northwestern suburbs, and I get the impression the sort of a reasonable Maltese community in that area is that a fair comment or not?
There is little Malta out in Sunshine and St Albans. You know, but my gang, if I can put it that way, we're pretty much around that Airport West area, you know, Nidri, Essendon.
But still, that's general, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're still it's sort of yeah, northern, yeah, borderline, yeah.
You know, Sam, I'm really surprised you haven't used the word mate yet, because you normally use mate at every sentence. What's happening here?
Give me a break, mate.
You know, the Italians have got the, you know, the pastas, the restaurants. The Greeks have their the cakes. What do the Maltese have in Victoria? Curious. And it sounds like a really dumb question, but I'm curious.
Well, we taught the Italians how to cook. Let's put it that way.
Now, if there are any Italians out there who want to challenge that, 0427-JOY-949, text us, or even call us and berate this very audacious man here.
What about now, your parents were, as we're saying, discussing with you off air, your parents were born in Malta, but what is their backgrounds? I mean, do they have a fairly lengthy heritage in Malta, or do they in turn have grandparents and whatever come from other countries?
That's an interesting one. Because Malta is that crossroad in the Mediterranean, I think when we tried to look back at Dad's past, like, there's a bit of that Northern African touches in there. There's a lot of Egyptian Maltese and, you know, Maltese in Libya as well. You know, so...
So your hair is a bit curly, because when you mentioned... Is that, you know... What have you done to trace the family tree?
Well, I mean, well... No.
You've got to get used to these questions.
I know, there's madness in here.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about your parents.
Yep.
Now, your dad met your mum when she was only 15.
Yeah, 15 or 16, yeah, somewhere about there.
And then there, after that, how long did they court for?
I actually don't have an exactness on that,
mm-hmm.
but he came to Australia when he was pretty young with, I think he had £15, which would be about $20 in his pocket, and caught a flight over to Australia, which took a week.
A flight that took a week?
Yeah.
How does a flight?
He flew to Australia, yeah. It's funny, we stopped in Bombay once on one of our holidays, and Dad said it hadn't changed for 30 years.
and then how long did you your mother was still in Malta while your father
So Dad came to Australia. He's one of the first couple of brothers to come over and pretty much establish a family here in Melbourne.
This is Orange Ribbon. You're with Kafam and Alan tonight, and our guest is Sam.
Joy 94.9 Orange Ribbon Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac, the best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Orange Ribbon Joy 94.9 with Alan and Kafam, and our guest tonight, Sam, Australian of multicultural background.
Maltese background.
Everyone is
multicultural as well.
He claimed he's very mixed up inside anyway from all the Turks and the Germans. And, you know.
Italians
as well. Now, a little bit about your own, because during the pre-interview, I talked about Sam, and Sam is very driven, very busy man.
Indeed.
Always
busy.
Where does it come from?
It's just a family thing. We're all the siblings are highly driven for some reason. Genetics.
Do you think it is, or it's something that's learned? Because if it was the family was like that, do you not think it may be...
I actually think it is learned. My dad's highly driven. And it's rubbed off on all three of us, that we're all highly driven.
So you're very goal-oriented. That is, do you set yourself goals or targets, whether it's sales targets, whether it's getting a house built by a certain date or getting a garden finished by a certain date or whatever?
It's more the momentum is there. And you just, for some reason, the universe just directs you more work, more energy, and the momentum just keeps, you know, pelting along.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't stop.
So you're a good time manager?
Myself?
Yeah.
Yeah, juggle things reasonably well. Yeah, I am a tradesman. I can get away with a lot.
You know, you are so driven that, you know, you have an interesting story about your toe. Tell us about that toe
Excuse
story.
Excuse me? Toe, as in T-O-E?
T-O-E, toe, yes.
Oh, just too busy to get it fixed. To dislocate. I thought I fractured it, but I actually dislocated it. And, with my immense strength, pulled out the cutlery drawer and dropped it onto it, and for some reason, it was better. So, didn't have time to get it fixed, but the cutlery drawer definitely fixed it, put it back in.
Goodness gracious.
And how long did you have that toe dislocated for?
Oh, it was about 3 weeks.
And just let it go. And just work through the pain.
Just work through the pain, yep. High pain threshold. Get out there and get on with it.
You're very sadistic, aren't you?
It sounds like it might be interested in BDSM or something.
Speaking of BDSM, I want to talk about Catholicism.
You're near, you're asking for trouble.
What was your background like when you were growing up? You know, is Malta very Catholic?
Everyone in Malta is Catholic. You wouldn't be anything else, I'd say.
No Buddhism, no Islamic.
No, I'd say it's very lean. You'd count them on one hand.
So, just to digress for a moment, what is the population, roughly? What's the population of Malta?
Oh, I don't know.
But I mean, talking about millions or hundreds of thousands?
Yeah, I think there's about a million people over there.
So it's of that order of magnitude, yeah. Okay. So, and you're saying that it's primarily Catholic. If you're not particularly, I mean, we hear so many stories of people who have been brought up Catholic, have gone to Catholic schools and whatever, mm-hmm. and the usual story is they're only too glad to get away from it. I mean, what's the situation with you?
Yeah, I'd say that it's not very gay friendly.
Well, I think we all have concluded that.
Yeah. That's putting it very mildly, Sam.
But I'm sure there's plenty of gay priests out there.
Yes.
Oh, that's a very strong statement made by Sam Bork and not by Joy 94.9.
I can say so from experience.
So from that, I gather you no longer go to church.
No, I don't. Brought up as strict Catholic as a child, but no longer a believer in the Catholic
faith. What about the rest of the family? Have they retained the Catholic traditions and interests?
My parents have, and aunties and uncles, but I would say that all of us grandchildren pretty much don't carry it out anymore.
What about siblings? We didn't touch on that. You've got brothers and sisters.
Yeah, I've got a brother and a sister, yeah. And I'm the oldest.
And are they in the same boat as you are in terms of Catholicism?
Yeah, they are. They are straight, but both of them. But,
we weren't implying anything different there.
But, yeah, it's the same thing, yes. They are. They pretty much, they don't go to church or carry it out.
And go ahead, Alan.
I was simply going to ask, do you hold any allegiance at all to the Catholic Church these days, or it's just not in your mind anymore?
No. Mate, the wheels have fallen off the plane. Seriously, jump out while you got a parachute.
You know, while doing the Alan, while we went, Sam and I were having coffee during the pre-interview when I recorded all this, Sam made a very strong statement of the Catholics have damaged the world. Tell us about that.
Well, they used to argue the world was round for many, many years, didn't they? Sorry, the world was flat, I should say. The world was flat, I should say, yeah.
There's plenty of blood on the hands up there in Rome, can I put it that way? And, you know, I truly feel that the religion that they enforce upon people pretty much has ruined so many lives.
For example?
Northern Ireland. Has a disaster there.
But is
they couldn't even help the Jews in Germany in the Second World War.
That was a good example.
It goes on and on, you know, what they did to, you know, South America just because the Spaniards wanted it. I mean, there's more Catholicism at its worst.
But don't you think, I mean, we can get a very long discussion about all this. Yeah. I think most of the wars, if not all of the wars around the world, are all got a religious basis to them, whether it's Christianity, such as the Northern Ireland situation that you're referring to, whether it's the Middle East and Muslims and also in Indonesia to an extent and that sort of thing. It seems to me that religion is at the background, whatever the religion is behind almost every altercation around the world and in history. It's not just Catholicism.
I'll just give you 100% on that one. That's true, yeah, indeed. But, you know, if you can actually let go of the thought that religion rules your life, your life would be much better.
Well, on that note, Sam has moved on from Catholicism to spirituality, which runs a huge part of your life. When we come back, we'll talk more on that.
Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Dum Maru Dum, Asha Bhosle. If you are Indian or you're very fond of India, you would know that song by heart. It's a very classic tune. You're on Joy 94.9, Orange Ribbon with
Hugh is ill tonight. In fairness, Hugh is ill. He's got very, very, not very well tonight.
Hope you're feeling well. And our guest tonight is Sam. I'm all over the place tonight. And Sam is going to speak. He's rolling his eyes. How rude.
It's because I'm here, I think. He's all over the place.
Talk about spirituality. What is spirituality to you? Because, you know, it could be, you know, crystals, or it could be like summoning the, I don't know, a goddess. What is spirituality to you?
Well, you know, if you let go of the concept of, you know, like Catholicism, such as I have, then what do you fill that void with? You know? And if the person, is important, you give out your own, who's important to you, like myself and others, so we're all humans. We give out an energy. Our plants give out energy. People, buildings, everything's giving out energy. So whether you decide to take it on or not is up to yourself. And that's where spirituality comes out from. It's this universal energy and recognizing it's there and letting it either come into your life or not. And if you let it come into your life, it helps you. It puts you on the right path, on a different road, in a new direction. It changes, and you change with it. and you decide whether you do want to change with it or not.
So, from a practical point of view, what does that mean in your daily life? I mean,
how does one have
the universe speaks to me constantly? It speaks to me like, you know, like something like, all right, don't go down that road because there's going to be a car accident or something. You know, it takes you on all sorts of different paths. Like, you know, I'll plug in where I need to go and I'll ask the universe to direct me there. And I don't even use the malways and I'll get there. Even in pitch darkness, no lights.
You mean your GPS has some sort of spiritualism associated with it?
No, it's back to energy. If you let it, if you're open to it, then it will help you in all sorts of different ways.
So
keep going.
I'm trying to understand, though, what this does to your... how do you live your life daily? I mean, if you were a Buddhist, you would have a temple or a small altar in your home. If you were Catholic, you would have the Mary on the wall or a cross or something other, and so on. I mean, as a spiritualist, what is the replacement for all of that?
I've got to say that I do like the Indian goddess Lakshmi.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How did you get hold of Lakshmi goddess? Tell us a story.
It's just, I actually just came across her.
Mm-hmm.
Or she came to me. I'm not quite too sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's taken a liking to me and I've taken a liking to her.
Uh-huh.
Which is good. She's,
what is Lakshmi famous for? Because there are different gods for different purposes in India.
I think it's wealth and prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
And she likes to be, she likes her name just thrown around regularly. Yeah.
And how did you get into spirituality anyway? You have an interesting story there. How did you get introduced to spirituality?
Once I went out with a woman,
mm-hmm.
The ultimate black sheep on this earth, I would say, bohemian, everything, every label she's been. And having a relationship with her for about 3.5 years, she's the one that opened my mind to the fact that, you know, you don't have to live the Catholic lifestyle and just get out there and enjoy yourself. And it then directed me towards this sort of, like, understanding energy and energy flows. That's where I went down to. That's how we came to this point.
So... do you have any hangover guilt or hangover feelings from what you've been taught in your Catholic upbringing? No. Or that's totally, totally gone?
I shake my head all the time. You know, people preaching and carrying on, I just go, this is just crap, seriously. When are you going to wake up to the real light? You don't need this. And it's not true. That's why those wheels are falling off that plane, my friend.
You seem to have this thing with Catholicism, but does it apply to all Christian religions, or you specifically have this thing about Catholicism?
It's the ultimate Amway, I would say.
The ultimate Amway.
Amway, yeah.
It's one way of putting it.
The pyramidal selling.
It is indeed. It all leads to the one man at the top of that pyramid.
You're on Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Orange Ribbon Joy 94.9 with Alan and Kafam. And our guest tonight, Sam, Australian of Maltese background. And Sam was getting sick of all these Bollywood music. And he actually told me to... fed it down and push some buttons and kill the music.
And in case a message from Hugh, we're beginning to wonder ourselves whether the guest is Indian or not as well, given the music. But unfortunately, we had a problem with a CD, so we have to explain that.
As I mentioned in the beginning of the show, that I brought along Carla Bruni, the First Lady of France, but she refuses to sing today.
To play.
What a temperamental nightingale. And, you know, Sam, tonight we're talking about spirituality. And, you know, Sam, I have a question for you. In our daily grind, we work, we slave, and we're exhausted. From a spiritual point of view, what can someone do to, you know, to retain a bit of energy?
Find some inner peace, my friend.
How?
Just be happy with what you have. Why continue to strive to, you know, to buy a bigger house, buy a bigger car? Why do it? Just be happy with your little house and beating up bomb and just get around and do your thing.
But you have, you know, so many houses and so many cars. Why do you have that?
That's because wogs have more than one house and we're always cashed up.
What about meditation, though? You don't go for meditation or
yoga? I have to admit that I did do a lot of Iyengar yoga in my earlier days, but I've let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And just purely on a time thing, being a full-time dad, that, you know, you can't squeeze in everything anymore.
What's Iyengar yoga?
Iyengar?
Mm-hmm.
You really stretch yourself. It's yoga times two. Let's put it that way.
Wow. I haven't even tried yoga times one.
And also you have mentioned while doing the interview that because you are a horticulturalist, you're a landscapist.
I am indeed.
And how do you choose a client? Because some clients are fussy, some are easy. How do you choose a client?
They just come to me. That's why I do pretty much 10 out of 10. Every job, everyone who rings, I pretty much do work for. That's because the universe sends me good people. I ask it to, you know, the type of person and the type of work I like to do, and those people just, they call my number. I'm not even in the phone book or on the net.
So what about the chances of some cranky customers calling you up?
I've got to say that it's been some time since I've had a cranky customer. A long time.
And do you take them on?
No, I don't do work for them. They're cranky. No way.
So you decide within the first, I don't know, 5 minutes or...
Well, that... Kafam, can I say? Mm-hmm. They call me. Only nice people call me to start off with.
Okay, moving on to sexuality. Uh-huh.
Yep.
You have... had relationships with women in the past.
Yes, I have.
Long-term relationships.
Yes, I have.
Tell us about those. What happened?
What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you know, you move on. But, with the last one, it did fall apart in a major way. And just carrying a few, mental sort of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Bipolar, depression. And, she pretty much let me go. And then it gave me an opportunity to then... explore what I wanted to explore.
And now you're with?
A very loving partner. Yep. His name?
What's his name? Yeah, say hello.
Is male.
His name is Aylan. He's a very beautiful Welsh boy.
Yeah. Was there indication before this opportunity?
Oh, I knew since I was about 15.
Okay.
And I've been with boys along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But, more girls than boys. But, But then I thought at 35, time to give it a go.
Is Aylan listening tonight?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think he's at work, actually. Yeah. The Australian Army doesn't let him listen to Joy.
Oh, he's with the Army?
Yeah, he does work for the Australian Army.
Wow. Yes. So both of you are quite, you know, butch in your professions.
We're not very gay, no. Only if we put a mascara.
Which is not very often.
So and glitter. Glitter is good. So, you can save the world with glitter, I say.
That is a beautiful statement, Sam. And how old were you before you embarked on a first serious, you know, your relationship with a man?
Oh, I was 35.
35.
Yeah.
What took you so long?
It's just, when you get caught up in relationships and,
mm-hmm.
And we're a happy family,
mum,
mm-hmm. dad and child.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it takes two to make a relationship and one to break it. And when it broke, then I thought to myself, yeah, it's time to give this a go and I'm old enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to get used or abused out there.
It's interesting.
I can stand my ground.
It's interesting you make the comment that you get wrapped up in the relationship because in another life, as I was saying off air, I was married for 16 years as well. And, I mean, you do get wrapped up in that relationship and you have a family to look after and you're involved in family things and whatever. And it's not until, as you say, something breaks or something happens that an opportunity arises, even though you might have known that something was there beforehand, you decide not to act on it until, you know, something's broken, as you explained.
Well, I have to say that, I mean, she did know about it, about my inner thoughts and inner feelings.
Uh-huh, so you're always open about it.
Yeah, indeed, literally from day one.
And how did she handle that?
I pretty much reassured her that it was in Pandora's box, put away on the shelf there, in a little box, and, you know, if or when that it was going to come to the surface, we didn't really know, but it wasn't the major factor why we separated, but I suppose she did use it against me at that point in time, but...
So how did your family react to this? I mean, your parents, I assume your parents are still around, are they?
Yeah. I actually live in the same street as my parents, can I say? But
is that typical?
And we all ate at Mum's regularly.
Oh, that's so lovely.
But look, they took it really badly at the start. The divorce and my possible gayness.
Mm-hmm.
It was even worse than a divorce, I think. And they did want me to go visit the local Catholic priest to help cure me.
And what did you say to that?
I won't say it on air. but they did take a lot of high blood pressure tablets at that point in time.
Maybe not the actual version, maybe the drummed down version of what you said to them.
There's no need to, you can imagine it.
Yeah.
In the end it came down that they needed to accept who I am.
Uh-huh.
And they accept Aylan as well, who lives with me permanently. And I've got a 9-year-old child that lives with both of us permanently, full time.
What's his name?
Jesse.
And Jesse listening tonight? Hello, Jesse.
No, I'm not sure.
So, sorry, without pushing this too far, where does the child come from? Is that yours or
your partner's? No, it's mine.
That's your child.
My 9-year-old.
Yeah.
And what does Jesse think, your son? What does Jesse think of... Daddy living with another man.
Pretty much, it's... who knows what a child truly thinks, but he accepts us both and respects both of us. And he's just really good. He's a good, well-balanced, well-rounded child.
Yeah. How do you go, just following that line a little bit further, with respect to school issues? If you've got to go to parent-teacher interviews, for example...
Mm-hmm.
Do you both go, or do only one of you go, and how do you handle that?
What's Alan's role in that?
Alan's role, I have to admit that I've been pretty much the one that's gone to all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they go to tennis, they do tennis and soccer and all sorts of things too. But there hasn't been any issues with anybody, children, teachers. It's pretty accepted. I mean, there's a couple of lesbians who've got a girl, and there's a couple of gay boys who've got a boy, you know. Mm.
You're on Orange Ribbon, Joy 94.9 Multicultural Program, and our guest tonight, Sam, Australian or Maltese background, talking about, you know, when he had several straight relationships and now he's with a man. Now, one of the questions I constantly get asked is that, are you the girl or the man in the family? You know, always from the straight community. Now, when in the heterosexual community, it's pretty clear-cut, you know, who's a man, who's a woman, with the habit of all the past relationships you had. What is it like with Aylan? Do you have to define a role?
Well, it's hard to pick that we're gay to start off with. And but in our fields, we're highly respected in what we do and how we carry ourselves. But, I'm not big on labels and, you know, I'm not a muscle Mary, I'm not a princess. I just, you know... Go on.
And okay, because I'm tying it back to spirituality during the pre-interview. You mentioned that you are a being.
I'm just a being. I'm not, you know, all this obsession of labels. You know, I'm not tops. I'm not bottom. You're just there to enjoy the world. You know, I suppose if you want to categorize me, I'd be bi, I'd be top, I'd be bottom, I'd be your princess if you wanted me to. You know, I'd be your man, your provider, you know. You know, I'm everything. And that's why, you know, there is no exact category. So you think of yourself as being just a human.
It's interesting, the comment you just made there. What are you in the sense that you say you could be bi or whatever? Do you think you would ever go back to a relationship with a woman again?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
It is a good question. Mm-hmm. And I would actually say yes, I probably would. You know, I enjoy being with both. It's not like I'm biased to one. I enjoy having a relationship with either. I just, at this point in time, I'm enjoying myself having a relationship, and I assume he's enjoying himself having a relationship with me.
I ask that question because having sort of come from a vaguely similar background, if you like, in that regard, and having married for 16 years, I don't think I would ever do that again. And I can't, to be quite honest, without getting too crude about this, I don't think I could envisage the idea of having sex with a female again. I really don't.
I have been picked up by more straight women
I can
at
imagine.
Gay clubs than anywhere else that I've ever been.
Just very quickly, I want to ask this question. Has Jesse asked you, how come Daddy is sleeping in bed with a man? What is Daddy doing with a man in the same bed? Has he asked that awkward question yet?
Yeah, the question has been raised. And pretty much, you know, a nine-year-old only needs to know so much in the end. And sure, they talk about it at school between kids and all of that and try and make up their own little stories. I'm sure we all did that as children. But pretty much if there's hugs and your spoon and there's just love there, you know, there's nothing else that you really need to tell them about, really.
I think they are just
love.
Yeah, I think they are just fairly well, particularly if they've been involved or introduced to it from a fairly young age, and they, to a major extent, don't know any different in a way. But I just wish, you know, I had a similar sort of relationship, but unfortunately, with my children, that wasn't to be. Unfortunately, but
that is rather sad. What have you done to bridge the gap, Alan?
Long story. we'll take that one off air.
And what about school? How is the school, the teachers, the classmates reacting to Jesse having you and an uncle,
yes,
Alan,
yeah,
to school?
Well, we call him he could be the funky uncle. But look, we've had kids around from school and there's been no adverse reactions. Let's put it that way. They've all been, you know, no one's actually raised it.
Uh-huh. What kind of school is it?
It's just your local government primary school. Nothing special.
Would that make a difference in if had, you know, been a private school? What do you reckon?
I think now society's just changing. The wheels are turning. And I don't think it's anywhere near as big an issue as what it, let's say, it used to be.
Hmm.
Well, unfortunately, time's against us, Sam, so we might have to call it quits at that one. So thank you very much for coming in and having a chat.
Thank you.
The 1 hour always seems to go by rather quickly, so thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Joy is Simon and Paul with Global Sounds. Thanks to Nick, who's been helping out on the phones tonight. We'll be back again at 7 o'clock next Wednesday night. Hopefully Hugh will be better and be able to get back with us as well. So until next week, from Kafam and I,
good night.
Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.